This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Can you make someone welcome to the International Eagles Conference? I know you had to fight the storm to come. You had to fight the waves, the master waves to come. The flight was not good. The road trip was discouraging. But here you are. Welcome to the hill of the Lord. Hello. We give you praise, O great King, and we magnify your great name. Let everyone that came from every place receive the flames of your glory in this house tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to read a scripture to us. It's still a way of welcoming us from all the various places that we came from. And my introduction will come from the book of Judges, chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?" So Benjamin was about to be cut off from being a tribe in the land. And when that extinction was in sight, they went to the Lord and cried. Hallelujah. The remnant clan has families and branches all over the world. So we want to do a head count to ensure that no tribe is lost. Amen. So you may be seated. So those that are from the household of Germany, you may wish to take a stand so that you can be properly introduced to the house. So we salute the brethren from Germany. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Those brethren from the United States of America, you are hereby welcome. Welcome to the General Assembly in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you are close to them, give them a handshake. They had to fight storms to come. Those that are from Canada, you may please stand. Yes. Wow. Glory to God. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Our brethren from Cameroon. Glory to God. You're welcome in the name of Jesus. Our brethren from Ghana. Yeah. The black stars of Ghana. Amen. We salute you in Jesus' mighty name. I'm seeing Mozambique here for the first time. Mozambique. That's Mozambique. For the first time. Saint Lucia for the first time. Botswana for the first time. Yeah. And that's Dibaleng, the apostle. Benin Republic. You are welcome in the name of Jesus. Kenya. Welcome in the name of Jesus. The United Kingdom. Oh, my God. You are most welcome in the name of Jesus. Where is the chief of Birmingham? Okay, he's here. Errol Lawson. You are most welcome. And for the first time, we have men from Tanzania. Now, that's my friend, Ado. Please, Ado, come. Ado, come. Let him greet us in Swahili. This is Ado November, all the way from Tanzania. Please greet us. It's my friend.
Jambo. Mambo vipi? Yuansa poa sana. Habari. Asante sana posto kwa kunikaribisha.
Asante sana, asante sana.
Asante.
Please make welcome my friend Ado November all the way from Tanzania. Then the head count from Belgium. Belgium. Oh, I salute you in Jesus' name. And from South Africa, you are most welcome. And from United Arab Emirates, most welcome. Now, where are the people from Scotland? Brethren from Scotland, okay. All right. Most welcome in Jesus' mighty name. We'll keep doing head counts year after year until we are convinced that the prophecy that says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters covers the sea is fulfilled in our eyes. Turn your Bible with me as I make an attempt to tell a story. A story that took so many prophets in the scriptures to engineer. There was something that many of the spokesmen of the Old Testament could not fully articulate. I want to tell a story. If we are going to do justice to this story, then we may need to consult Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I need to salute my comrade, the Black Diamond of the Plateau. He is here. Amen. And he came with his lovely wife. Hallelujah. Yes, my friend, Pastor Apostle Eli Adejo from Abuja. Pastor Mrs. Mary Ochengele is here in our midst. Hallelujah. All right, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the idea that God had was that he wanted sons. That was God's desire. He was like an isolated spirit that found fulfillment in himself in all eternity. But at some point, he wanted sons. And in fact, the reason for which he was motivated to engage in the enterprise of creation was to fulfill a certain pleasure that was upon his heart. And the height of that pleasure was that he needed sons that would bask in his glory. Just like we know that the habitat for fish is water, and the habitat for trees, for vegetation, is land. The habitat for this creature called man was supposed to be the glory of God. Because God's intention was to bring sons into glory. So if you understand the eternal purpose of God, it will be easy for you to fathom the depth that is concealed in this one verse of scripture. Satan came with an invention, and that invention was sin. And the object of sin was not just corruption. He wanted to fight and to strike at the very purpose of God, which was to bring sons into glory. And the instrument that he used to achieve this feat is called what? Sin. And sin made humanity short of the glory of God. And so God had to come up with an invention, something that had the capacity to undo sin and its consequences, so that humankind can one more time inherit glory, which is supposed to be our habitat of oppression. Second scripture to establish this my story before I begin to tell the story. The second scripture will be Romans chapter 8, verse number 30. So you will see an intention of God that drives from eternity past into time and reaches into eternity future. For the Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there is an initiative that God began to attempt to achieve, and this initiative is coming from eternity past. All right? You see, the efforts of God are stage managed from his frame of reference, which happens to be eternity. And so what he did in eternity, because he is the creator behind the studio, there were several things he put in motion. Are you there with me? Which were established even before Satan was created. There were some secrets that were set in motion. They were established before Satan ever existed. And that's why in the Bible you'll find so many miscalculations of the devil enshrined in that book, because many secrets were put in place before Satan showed up. And Satan will miscalculate again tonight concerning your life in the name of Jesus. And so the Bible reveals that from that place of eternity, he exercised his authority. And he set a pathway for the actualization of his intention. Are you there? Now, the Bible says that he predestinated and he called. Those are the two things that happened in eternity past before time, setting the pace for the intention that he has in mind. It's on the strength of his predestination, it's on the strength of his calling, that he was able to achieve a judicial activity called justification. And the word justification is a legal terminology that identifies a man that has been discharged and acquitted from a certain accusation that was leveled against him. So justification took place in time, but that's not where the reaction began. It began from beyond the curtain in eternity, where God predestinated us. We existed as seeds of eternity at that time. And God chose the path for each and every one of us. For me, he ordained that I would be an apostolic teacher. So that path existed before I found expression in my mother's womb. That path, hallelujah, was designed for every single one of us in the studio in eternity. And it's on the strength of this path that God has designed for you that he reaches out to call you to be part of a genealogy in the race of men. You see, in that studio, on the day that God called us, we were not yet in this frame. We existed, like I said, as seeds of eternity. And God called us to align us with the genealogies of men. Are you there? That's what happened in the studio before you came into time. Just in case you think that you were the one that chose Jesus, I want to tell you from this perspective, he was the one that chose you. And the moment you aligned with him through a judicial act, and that judicial act is a mother. Hallelujah. I don't have time to talk about that judicial act today. Maybe the Lord will put that burden upon any of the speakers to unveil the favor that was locked on God's deliberate intention to bring us to a point where the justice system of heaven will consider us discharged and acquitted. Now that God has been able to restore us and we now exist in a state called justified, God's original agenda, which is to bring sons into glory, continues. And guess what? This glorification that is our destiny will not take place in time. It will take place beyond time. You know, God began beyond time and he achieved justification in time in order to open us to the path of spiritual progress. And the objective is to bring us into glory, and our glorification is something that is beyond time. This is the syllabus of the Christian life. Are you still, if you are still with me, say amen. In order for us to come into glory, there are the fullness of glory, there are several processes that God subjects us to so that we can begin to mature in the ways of the divine life that happens to be the operating system of our possibilities and the new context of our reality. So this is the story. Now let me start telling you the story. This is the summary. This is the objective of my presentation. So I want to start telling you the story now. The full story that captures all the systems and the mechanisms that God put in place from eternity past towards the actualization of his grand plan. And then you will find out where grace stands out in this massive schematic diagram. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 as we explore the wonders of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll begin from verse number 3. Whenever you stumble on the book of Ephesians, it is needful for you to take a moment, because that book is the most spiritual book that Apostle Paul wrote. In fact, he wrote this book in the time of his maturity as a Christian. Some of the earlier books, like the book of Romans, you will see his learning as a personality that has rich legal understanding. You will see a lot of cerebral work in his earlier books as he tries to bring the heart of God to us. And in order for him to calibrate us and to bring us into the understanding of spiritual things, there were a couple of knowledge domains he had to communicate in order to bring us into the full scope of the realities of this divine frontier. So he has a unique way of expression, because there are so many items of knowledge in his handle to dispense. But when it comes to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is that book that he had to pray earnestly that God should give him utterance to communicate. It means the revelation for this book was contacted previously, but he didn't have the utterance to communicate it. Once and again, you will hear him tender prayer points in the congregations that he planted, that they should ask the Lord to grant him utterance to speak several things, mysteries that had downloaded into his spirit, but he had no utterance to communicate them. The book of Ephesians is that moment where this great apostle of Jesus Christ was able to find the utterance to communicate the things pertaining to God's eternal purpose. And it will surprise you to know that there was no other person in the entire scriptures that was able to bring perspective to these things the way Apostle Paul did it. For instance, you will find John say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That was all John saw. You will hear John again in the book of 1 John say, "That which was in the beginning." So he spoke about a personality that was in the quadrant of the Godhead. And that personality happens to be a very significant person that you must know if you are going to understand the workings of the Godhead. That's how far John went. But Apostle Paul went further, and I'm going to prove it to you now. The first thing that Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 is that he's calling us to bless God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why he's blessing God and admonishing us to even bless him is because he first blessed us with all spiritual blessings that are domiciled in the heavenly places in Christ. Please, stay with me. Stay with me. It says, "Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In order for development to continue in a country, a budget must be passed. This budget, if it is passed, contains the funds that the government now has approval to use to achieve some development plans. Right? Without a budget, there is no way you can sustain the administration in the nation that is required to do government business in such a way that government will achieve her objectives. So if you are going to develop a place, if you are going to advance a civilization, then you must have financing. Are you with me? In the same way, the Bible says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because he has made available financing. See, as long as there's financing, then it means that we can have development. So he made financing available. But you see, the problem with this financing, are you with me? There are two problems with this kind of financing. This is a bag of credit that God has made available. And he calls it spiritual blessings. two problems with these spiritual blessings or financing. The first problem is that the blessings are not in your name. The blessings are in the name of Jesus. That's the first problem. The second problem is that the blessings are not on earth. The blessings are in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And meanwhile, you have a name, you have a bank account, and God did not put these blessings in your bank account. He put the blessings in Jesus' bank account. And then he put the blessings in the heavenly places. Are you with me now? Or you're not with me? Now, you need to understand Ephesians chapter 1. If we are going to make progress in this conference, then you need to understand Ephesians chapter 1 very clearly. Now, you see, in the book of Genesis, what we have is that God decided to put these resources, are you with me, in the name of a human being, namely Adam. Are you there? So when Adam decided to negotiate with the devil and to take the devil's side, he passed all the resources and possibilities to Satan. So since that time, God no longer anchors such incredible matters on men. He anchors it on Christ. So you understand why it is in the name of Jesus and not in your name. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it is in heavenly places. You see, I went to the city of Zaria and I saw the greatest demolition in Nigeria that I've ever seen since I was born. About 257 houses belonging to people that had certificates of occupancy were demolished. Are you there? Because a government came into power that felt that the problem of the state were the Christians in that location. And God is aware that a government can come that can dispossess you of this financing if it were physical. So he decided to take it from the physical domain and he put it in the cloud. Hallelujah. Now, I just want you to understand that everything that you need to prosecute life and destiny is readily available, but it is stored in a location. A location that you need understanding to tap into. So the first thing we are seeing in verse number 3 is that we are fully funded. The budget is real. It has been approved. And the budget is in the name of Jesus. And the budget has been hoisted in heavenly places. That's number 1. Did you get that? All right. Number 2. This blessing, which is from verse 4 now, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now, the next thing we see in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 is that God decided to exercise his authority. He exercised his authority in choosing you in Jesus. And I'm going to explain that. You see, we were taught in biology that there were 3 million sperm that was released. And only one made it. And you are that one. So the Bible says that he chose us. Anytime we have this choice, it means God exercised his authority concerning you. And he chose us in him. I think I need to explain that. He did not choose you apart from him. He chose you within that plane where his authority is effective. No, you are not getting me. Even though probably this brother might be called to be an evangelist, if God cannot exert his authority upon him, there is no way he can be an evangelist. So what God did was that he chose you in him. The realm of Christ is the realm where God has full authority to exert. And once you are in that realm, he can manipulate you until you become exactly what he has planned for you. Are you there? The full implication of the fact that you were chosen will not be evident until you find yourself in him. Because your choosing happens to be in him, that's where the resources that will make you what God has designed you to be are domiciled. So everyone that God has chosen will not know they are chosen until they come into the domain of Christ. Then you will find out that you are not an accident. Even if the circumstances that surround your birth are not the best circumstances, that it will look true as long as you are outside Christ. The day you give your life to Christ, you enter into a new framework of economy. And it will be obvious, because of the resources that are available to manage your destiny, you will know that in Christ you are not a mistake, but outside of Christ you can be a mistake. Are you there? Oh my God, you are not with me. Yeah, in Christ. You will never know until you find Christ. And then you will be brought into that economy and you will realize that you are fully funded. There is no mistake in this ecosystem. The budget captures every aspect of your possibility. And you will know that in him you were actually chosen, and the budget accounts for resources that are designed by God to manage your own life as an individual. So what we see in verse 4 is the manifestation of the authority of God in making a unique choice about you. So this unique choice that God has made, you will never know it until you come into the realm of Christ. Because that choice was made as touching the realm of Christ. That's where God included you the day you gave your life to Christ. Oh my God, you are not following me. Now, this, like I said, if you know how many days I prayed for utterance, like Paul prayed for 17 years for the utterance to say these words. I prayed for more than 7 days. The proof that you have been chosen will not be evident until you come into Christ. When you come into Christ, you will now discover that God had chosen and made a location for you in that ecosystem. Because when you call on him, he will answer. Because when you depend on him, he will make that which is impossible possible. So it will now give you an understanding of the fact that the administration within Christ was set up in such a way that anticipated my coming. You were chosen in him, and it is only when you now come into him that you will discover that there's unique preparation for your destiny, unique preparation for your life, and it will occur to you that you are not an accident in this administration. Is that clear? So that is evident in the fact that he made a choice concerning you even when, before you knew yourself. And that choice that he made provided accommodation for you in Christ Jesus, where the resources are domiciled. You see, the resources are domiciled in Christ Jesus. So as long as... Okay, let me give you one scripture. You are not following. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, give me verse 30 on the screen. Do you have it there? Now, the Bible says, but of him. Can you substitute that him, cancel it, and put the Father? The person that is spoken of in this scripture is the Father. But of the Father are ye in Christ Jesus. You see, that realm called Christ Jesus is the realm that God as domiciled you the day you gave your life to Christ. That is the place that God is hoping to administer your destiny. And in that place, just in case you find that realm, you will discover that the budget covers the expenditure that is supposed to put you in shape and bring you into everything that God has ordained. So the Bible says, but in him are ye in Christ Jesus. And when you find yourself in that economy, in that ecosystem, the Bible says, this Christ Jesus, God has made him wisdom. This Christ Jesus, God has made him righteousness. This Christ Jesus, God has made him sanctification. This Christ Jesus, God has made him redemption. And I want to tell you that the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is not exhaustive. This Christ Jesus, God has made him anything that we need to fulfill our unique destiny in God. These scriptures are evidences to show that your life and my life is adequately funded according to the resources that are captured in the spiritual blessings that we spoke about that are domiciled in the heavenly places. You will notice in the book of Psalms, verse 27, you will hear David make statements like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You see, it means the list is going on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, we saw Christ as wisdom. So Christ can become wisdom to you. Christ can become sanctification to you. Christ can become redemption to you. Christ can become your light. Christ can become your salvation. Christ can become anything he needs to become in order for you to enter into the fullness of your purpose in Christ Jesus. I'm just showing you a land where there's no scarcity. I'm showing you a place in the spirit where there is no lack. Because the budget is adequate, it can sponsor your destiny. Because the budget was put in place by someone that chose you. Are you there? You are not an accident in that domain. If the devil wants to do damage to you, what he will do is that he will close your eyes to that realm. Then you will begin to operate in the natural. And all the symptoms of insufficiency will haunt you until your last day. So what God did is that he funded an account. That account is in the spirit. And when you give your life to Christ, he puts you in the environment that is sponsored by that account. So that account can become wisdom to you. That account can become what? Righteousness to you. How many of you know that you need righteousness? Righteousness was given to you as a gift the day you received Jesus. It is that righteousness that gives you a premise to stand upon so that you can speak to God and interface with God without inferiority, without intimidation. It is righteousness that is imputed to you as a gift through Jesus Christ that gives you the audacity to come boldly into the presence of God. God knew you needed a platform to stand upon. He didn't wait for you to discover the need before he went and provided for it. He said that need was provided for in Christ Jesus. So the day you gave your life to Christ, he brought you into that economy of God that is fully funded. Christ in you can become anything that you need in order to achieve the dream of God for your life. Somebody needs to say amen at that point. Yeah. Now, I don't have time to tell you the stories of difficulties that were associated with the place I was born. Gideon can talk about that. The place, the tribe we were born to, the idolatry that is in the domain. And Satan had already locked us up with a padlock and he took the key to the second heaven. That means there was no way out. But you see, the moment we came into this economy, and our eyes began to open to the resources that are available in that landscape, Satan started becoming more and more irrelevant. And all the things he did with the padlock, all the things he did was no longer applicable, because we entered into a place where bondage is not capable. But you see, I just want you to see that island. It took Paul 17 years of prayer to arrive at the unction of utterance that was needed for him to unveil these possibilities and dimensions. Are you there? So, now you got it. So, God exercised his authority by choosing us and by including us in Christ Jesus. You see, when we talk about your past, theologically, the only genuine past that you have is that God included you with Christ on the cross. That's your genuine past, the cross. God, by an act of his authority, included you in Christ on the cross so that when Christ died, you died. Wait, stay there. Stay with me. Now, this is my diary. And this is my pen. Right? So I take this pen and I put in this diary. And I take the pen to London. I take the diary to London. Anywhere I take the diary to, that's where the pen will go. So what God did was that by an act of his authority, he included you in Christ on the cross. So when Christ died, you died. It means that there is an experience of death that is in Christ. That you didn't hear that. There is an experience of death that is in Christ, because there are some things that you call your reality that is not in Christ. You will need to die to them so that you can awake in other realities that are in Christ Jesus. The context of your reality right now is Christ Jesus. And anything that is not in Christ Jesus will have to wither and dry up, because it will not be funded. There's no funding for it. There's no funding in Christ Jesus for a life of sin. No funding. So it is, if you walk right, are you there? If you walk right, sin will dry up. It will have no funding. Think about it. Now let me take you further. Let me take you further. You see, holiness is the nature of God. And the day you gave your life to Christ, that nature of God came into you. All right? Are you there? So if you operate by the principles of the life that you have, you will naturally begin to see the nature of God bear fruit in you. Think about it. The reason why a man that is born again can still have a sin problem is because he doesn't want to leave the things that defile. He's in a zone where he can make encounters with defilement. And defilement wants to build an edifice around your life and become your reality. Meanwhile, your reality is in Christ Jesus. And the more your eyes are open to this reality, you will begin to walk away from defilement, and you will find out that part and parcel of the nature that you receive is holiness. And holiness means to be separate unto God, and so that only God can operate to you. When you start praying and giving yourself to prayer, you begin to see that there's an inner desire for you to close in on God every day. It is inherent in your new scope of consciousness. And as you explore it, you will find out that the things that you had appetite for before will no longer make meaning to you if you go deep enough. Not because you did anything, it's because you are just entering into your reality. The budget is beginning to finance the dream of God, and it's finding expression in your life. If you are there, say amen. Oh my God. I prayed in the morning, I prayed in the night to find utterance. If you want to do Ephesians 1, you need utterance. It's not cerebral. It's a vision that every believer must see. That island that is fully funded, oh my God, is the economy that God has made available to fund you, to provide, so that everything that God has spoken about your life will come to pass, not because you are so strong, but because there was an account that was opened in the heavenlies, and your life is aligned with Christ, and because you are aligned with the one in whose name the account was created, you have access to the resources that are domiciled therein. Are you there with me? All right, so the Bible says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, when God chose us, we were yet seeds of eternity. We were yet in the studio. All right? But he chose you in that studio with the hope that when you come into time, are you with me now? Oh my. That when you come into time, you would desire by an act of your own will to be separate to God. Because the moment you come into time, you will find out that Satan has set up several systems that are designed to master you so that you'll become conscious of another reality that is apart from Christ. Meanwhile, your identity in the spirit as a born-again believer cannot be isolated from Christ, your source. The understanding of your identity, the understanding of your reality is consistent with your union with Christ. Just like if you are married in this place, the understanding of your identity is consistent with the union that you have with your husband. The first thing that happens to you, the first damage that happens to you, is that your surname is blotted out. These days I see some people, they'll write their name, write their father's name, then write their husband's name. You can't do that with me. It's just that. It's just like all men are not like me. You are not. You can't do that. It's not an option. Your father's name has gone. When your history is traced, at some point your name will disappear somewhere, it will appear somewhere. And that's where you will remain. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You cannot understand your identity in marriage apart from your husband. So your dad's name is taken away because you have a new name. You have a new people. And in some cases, you even have a new God. Are you with me? Yeah. Everything about you in the old metrics goes to rest. And a new reality is born. That's what happened to you when you came to Christ, is marriage. Your new description is within the scope of that union. Satan wants to strengthen your stakes outside of the union. He wants to still sell you the products of the old reality, the products of sin, the products of flesh, the products of self, and he wants to manage you in that pseudo world that has ended. He wants to enliven it, make that world alive, make it so strong that you cannot see the crucible in which God has domiciled you, so that you can be a partaker of the resources that were made available in God and kept in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing the battle? Good. So if you can see this dream, God chose you in Christ Jesus with the hope that when you appear in time, you will make a choice yourself. You know, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we blessing him? Because he blessed us first with blessings in heavenly places. Now, in verse 4, he exercises his authority to choose you, that you have a place in Christ. So he made budget, made plans for you in Christ Jesus, not outside of Christ Jesus. So now that you are born again, your consciousness, everything about who you were before you became born again, must be cut off. It must dry up. So that you awake to your new reality. And the reason why you need to awake is because you need to make a choice. And you are making a choice not because God has not made a choice. You are making a choice because God made a choice. And the choice that God made is that he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That's part of the matrix that God put in place before Satan was created. Satan did not understand that the grace of divine election had chosen you before he showed up. So Satan is fighting from time, but God put structures for you from eternity. And that was what Jesus was trying to tell Paul. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you trying to contend with something in time that was set up in eternity? It is only going to make you kick against the pricks. You can't, it will wound you because it's deeper than you. It's traveling from a place that is timeless and it will find expression even when you are gone. Don't kick against the pricks. Hallelujah. I'm trying to open your mind to see the domain of your reality. And so the Bible says that he chose us with a hope that when you come into time, you yourself will choose him and you will decide to be separated unto him. Do you still remember what Peter said? What Peter said in the book of Acts chapter 6? There was a situation that came up. And the situation that came up was seemed to be suggesting that they should leave the place of the ministry of the word of God. They should leave the place of prayer and serve tables and do administrative works. The administrative system was in disarray. It was calling for attention. But Peter was well discipled by Jesus. And Peter knew what was important. And Peter said, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word of God and the ministry of prayer. We don't have any other option. This is how our lives will be. But we can get other guys to do the administrative work that is lacking. But our own work has already been defined. And we will do what? We'll give ourselves to it. When we say a man gives himself to prayer, it means, are you there? His life is going to be shaped by prayer. That's what he does. That's his preoccupation. So he's going to be shaped by prayer. Just in case you see him 5 years after, what you will see in his life is how much prayer has influenced him. Just in case you see him 20 years after, what you will see in his life is how much prayer shaped him in 20 years. You will begin to see the creature that he will become because he gives himself to a certain thing. God is saying, I chose you in the studio. And I chose you with the hope that when you come into time, you give yourself to me. That's the only way the vision that the Holy Spirit has and wants to accomplish in your life will become evident. If you don't sell out to God, if you are not sold out to God, if you do not choose God and cleave to him, it will be impossible for God to do what he wants to accomplish in your life. He will not have the authority to implement his program because you have not given him the right of way. Oh my God. Are you there? You are supposed to be an agency through which God will be advertised. And God cannot be advertised through a vessel that is not completely sold out to him. So God decided to choose you with the hope that when you step into time, you will choose him and you will be separated unto him. Imagine you walk into a banking hall and you are given the privilege to see the system, the computer that the teller officers are working with. And then you now find one banking solution installed on it. That computer is capable of running other softwares. Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Outlook, PowerPoint, and all of that. But you see, that computer is dedicated to running just one application. Are you there? That's how
That's what it means to be holy. You are separated onto one thing. There are so many things that can run you. And Satan has numerous assortments of products and softwares that he wants to use to run your life. Are you there? Oh my God, you're not with me. You need to see. There's a vision I want you to see. Satan wants to run your life, and he has softwares like sin. And if a man gives himself over to sin, after 20 years, and he is consistent in sin, you will, after 20 years, you will see what sin does to a human specimen. May the Lord give you understanding. Oh, when Satan also has products like self, right? So if someone, the principle that he works with is that if the thing doesn't benefit me, I will not be involved. Give him 20 years. Let him live with that principle, that philosophy. And then after 20 years, you will see what a creature he has become on the strength of that philosophy that he carried along. God is hoping that now that you have arrived in time, now that you have given your life to Christ and you are in the domain that God can influence you, he brought you into Christ with the hope that you will choose him and separate yourself to him, such that it's only the Holy Spirit that you give the right of way to run his software in your life. If you live that way, that's what we call consecration. That's what we call the intentional disciplines that you put in place in order for the government of Christ to be active on your life. Because if you are going to see me in the next 40 years, are you still with me? I'm not planning to change. I'm even looking for more ways to dive into Christ the more. So that after 40 years, you will say, okay, this is what God makes out of men that are recklessly sold out unto him. I will become a spaceman through which God can advertise. This is the product that he wants to make out of men. This is a sample of the kind of products God wants to make out of every man that is yielded to his plan, that is yielded to his purpose. God will not have that liberty to be skillful around your life to bring you into the fullness of what he has in mind if you do not make up your mind to be separated unto him. So the Bible says that even though he chose us before the foundation of the world, the reason why he chose us, the objective why he chose us, is that we should be holy. The word holy there is to be separated unto him. That nothing else can operate us except him. Even though we are capable of many vices, but we shut down those cravings so that the Holy Ghost can be the only one that has the right of way to give us the desires that we pursue. I will not pursue my own ambition. I will not pursue corruption. I will wait on the Holy Ghost until he crystallizes in my heart the desire that I should run with. It means that I have given my vessel out to him to become a platform for him to manifest his displays. It will not be evident what God is doing in your life if you are not sold out to serve his will. So he chose you so that you could be holy. And the only reason why you will walk in absolute separation unto him is because somewhere along the line, you have come to a point where you love him. The secret of holy living has its roots in the love of God. The reason why you will allow Christ to rule, and even though when Satan is making advances at you with his products, he's making advances at you with all the products that he has on his shelf, the reason why we'll choose Jesus today, choose Jesus tomorrow, choose Jesus the day to come, is because we, in our journey with him, we have come to love him. So we don't want to do anything that will truncate the relationship that we have built with him. I have something with him. Do you still remember what Peter said at the gate, beautiful? Oh my God. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have. What exactly was he talking about? He had something with God. He had something going with God. And on the strength of that which he had with God, he could sanction a miracle. If you know what I'm talking about, and people may come around your life trying to get you mad. The only reason why you are refusing to get mad is because you have something with God. That thing with God, you don't want to compromise it. You don't want that thing to be hurt, what you have with God. And that's the reason why you comport yourself. It's not as if you forgot your right hand. It's not that as if you forgot. No. All your powers are with you, but because of what you have with God. Please help me tell your neighbor, I have something with God. And it doesn't matter the pressure. The pressure cannot get me to move. I only move when God gives me the liberty and he unveils his desires in my heart. And that was what Jesus was trying to teach the devil when the devil came to tempt him in the wilderness. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. I live by the spoken word of God. If God has not spoken, even though I have a desire is not strong enough. I have a hunger. It's there. It's not strong enough to command an action in my life. The action will only be commanded if God gives me the instruction so to do. So he sold out to God. It doesn't matter how many legitimate things you present to him. Man, the things that God is set to do to them that what? Them that love him. Now, there are several things God will do because he loves you. And there are also several things you will do because you love God. Part of the things you will do because you love God is that you don't want God to be offended. So, even though there is pressure for you to walk in the flesh, because of what you have with God, you are ready to lose. You are ready to lose. So that you can retain what you have with God. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes,
now, the man that is ready to lose in the affairs of men because of what he has with Christ in the spirit, that man has started coming into the understanding of the place God domiciled you. Are you with me? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Stay with me. You know, I told you. Oh, you are not here. You know, I told you in the story that the objective is that he wants sons, and these sons are after the image of his pattern son. He wants to bring those sons into glory. That's his objective. Are you there? He wants us to bask in glory. Even though ultimately our entrance into the full scope of glorification is in the coming age, but there are dimensions of glory that he wants us to begin to experience now, because that is our destiny. Are you there? So, what he did is that in Christ Jesus, he created the possibility for us to be his children. Are you there? And that's what he calls having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So in Christ Jesus, he creates that provision for us to become a direct result of his redeeming activity. Are you there? And this act of God now is according to the pleasure of his good will. That's how we know God's motivation for creation in the first place. God's motivation for creation is that God had a desire in his heart. And that desire is according to his will. And we are now seeing the desire. The desire is that he wants children that have been adopted through Jesus Christ unto himself. So if God has sons, if God has children, children that begin to learn how to walk in glory, that gives him pleasure. That gives him satisfaction. Are you there? Because that's your habitat. There's a glorious life. There's a life of glory that God has ordained for you. And the more you begin to awake to the realization of this life of glory, this life I'm talking about, the possibilities I'm talking about, is beyond the systems of lack and want and insufficiency that is in this world. It is captured within an economy that is fully funded. The more you walk in the reality of this economy that he has made available, you will discover that your life fulfills the dominion mandate, that you are dominating the things that dominated the first Adam. In spite of the presence of the devil, in spite of the presence of Satan, your life is an evidence that Satan is not the problem. That it is possible to live as if Satan is not around. The more you walk into that reality, the more it gives God good pleasure. He's satisfied. The thing, the vision that he had in mind is being fulfilled in your life. So God is satisfied with you. So he made provision for you to become adopted as his own child in Christ Jesus. Are you there? So that you can have access, legal access to the resources that he has made available in heavenly places that are domiciled in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to walk in the realization of these things, he is pleased. Every effort that Satan will make to resist your life will just push you more into your destiny. Every effort. Evil people will rise up and say they want to attack you. And then you now wake up in the night and begin to pray. Then you start, the Holy Spirit starts bringing you into realms. Realms of glory. Realms of glory. Even though the people trying to attack you die. They all die. But you have found something that you didn't know before. That will keep you praying even though the opposition is no longer there. Because you are coming into the realization of what was kept in the facility that was designed to drive your life. You are becoming more and more like a creature that is funded. And there is a glory that comes out of your life that gives God good pleasure. Are you following my story? I'm telling a story. Are you there now? Now, I'm going to stop in verse 6. Because if we go beyond vaccines, we go into engineering. I need to show you of the glory of his grace. That means the fuel that we are going to run on to live the life of glory is called grace. So you understand right now. Are you there? So grace is the currency. The currency that is in that economy. The moment you have access to that currency, you begin to function, there will be evidence that you are fully funded. Are you there? I might not be able to speak when I'm not on stage because I'm born a stammerer and the symptoms of stammering still follow me everywhere I go. But the moment I step into my calling, grace is supplied. And the symptoms of stammering are suspended. There is an economy of sufficiency that man is still alive. He can come down from heaven now and look for Satan. Maybe he's in China. He will arrest him. But it will not give him glory. That's why he will not do it. He wants to do it in a certain way that will give him glory. And the way he wants to do it is through you. So he will be watching. And Satan will come with all kinds of things to bring you to a point of depression, and then you bend your knee and turn your face from the confusion. And the moment you turn your face, the vault opens and the resources begin to come, and God takes you high in the spirit. And when you look at the challenges that were about to make you depressed, you wonder at yourself. You see? So Satan will now say, okay, what's happening with this young man? More and more, Satan becomes irrelevant in your space, because you begin to find that the resources God made available to drive your life, they are in adequate supply in the grace of God. So when I began to discover these things, I began to walk away from all forms of lack, because the description of the life of mortal man is insufficiency. And that's the testimony of the book of Romans chapter 8. Give me Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He said, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. There is a challenge. And the challenge that we have here is the challenge of insufficiency. You are not sufficient for anything. And that's why I wonder, when women find it difficult to conceive and they are hard on themselves, they are depressed. Hey, wake up! You are insufficient. The first lesson that you need to learn, that will encourage you to begin to journey to a place in the spirit called the throne of grace, is that I am insufficient. If you have not learned that lesson, you will not be able to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. You will not look. You will be trying to redesign yourself. And in every version of yourself you put on the scene, it will be heavily laden with insufficiencies. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, He helpeth our infirmities. Sometimes our infirmities are in the area of lack of knowledge. The reason why you can still be deceived is because there is knowledge that is lacking. The Bible says we know not what we should pray as we ought. So there are dimensions of grace that can operate as education. Strange education. Ooh, I remember when Jesus came to teach me. He said, do you remember that time that I was asleep in the boat? And they came to wake me. And from my sleeping bed I arose and I spoke to the wind. I said, I remember. He said, you can never speak like that if you don't know who you are. So I went to study my Bible. Who am I? When I began to understand who I was, I also started speaking. As I will speak this night, you will see. You will never speak against the wind if you don't know who you are. Some of our deficiencies are in the areas of ignorance. So the Spirit of God comes to provide education. The Bible says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. We know not. There used to be a man that used to threaten me. And one day in those lectures that the Holy Spirit brought, he now said, when you know who you are, you will find that the things that you are afraid of are actually afraid of you. Hey, please help me preach to your neighbor. Say, you don't even need a pay rise. What you need to know is who you are. When the knowledge came to me that the very man I was afraid of is actually afraid of. Everything changed. You see, when you step into the knowledge of Christ that is revealed, everything, your demeanor will change, your perspective will change, your vista will change, just because spiritual knowledge came to you. So many things have already changed. Somebody needs to pray right now in the next 5 minutes. No, you don't need to stand up. This is not the end point. I want to give you a window. There is a knowledge that the Holy Spirit can quicken into your heart in the next 5 minutes that will change everything. For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, we don't know. Siamos Kebilaito es King. In the name of Jesus. I wanted to build my wife's school, and I have spent my last dime, and the foundation did not come out from the ground. I spent 9 million hard savings, didn't come out from the ground. Then I went to pray. Then he came again. He came to teach. He said, if you say you are a giant, then take giant steps. Because before that time, I need to calculate everything. The spreadsheet must be balanced. The execution must be according to the plan. I will stay away from risk. Hey, I will stay away, far away from risk. So we don't have to. No, I plan. And I was contained. Because all the symptoms of insufficiency began to come again. And the Lord had to take me out of that box. And he said, if you say you are a giant, then take giants. I was liberated by that spiritual knowledge. He said he helps our infirmities because we know not. Please help me tell your neighbor, he wants to tell you something that will change everything. Part of what grace does is that it brings education, it brings information. Oh my God. We know now. We know not. We know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself, he maketh intercession from the saints in groanings that cannot be uttered. He takes you beyond the scope of mortal man, and he exhibits his strength. That is what glory is. Glory. That's what glory is. You say there's a curse in your family. No. You have not found grace yet. That's why all those limited factors are still relevant. The day you find grace. The Lord asks us to call for this conference because he wants his people to step into the limitless island called grace. He commanded.
a step this evening. You will take a step in the spirit. God is going to hold your hand. You must take your giant steps from tonight. Listen to me. So when God builds, He builds with grace. If God wants to actualize a program in the earth, He makes grace available. If He wants everybody in this room to be a prophet, He will open up His grace. Grace. Satan cannot fight it. No. It is spiritual energy. That's the only thing that can conquer sin in the life of a man. Satan can't fight it. I pray that your eyes be open to see this.
It's grace, your grace that shines on me. E barababate sobre gede barataya, e kwate braba sharataya daya. It's grace, your grace. E mama robiola, I'm nothing without you. Manovara daya lea. It's grace, your grace that shines on us. Arama telebrato falamayasa eradabako sadabaya. It's grace, your grace. Oh mama lele lelovaya. I'm nothing, 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 nothing without you. It's grace, your grace that shines on me. Imama sima la makuria de la ma. Imama sima na kuria de la ya. It's grace, your grace, your grace. I'm nothing, 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 nothing. Without you, Jesus. 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 I am nothing. I am nothing without you. I am empty without you. Insufficient without you. Insufficient without you. Empty without you. Nothing without you. Empty without you. Emma Sima Nakaliano Rava. Empty without you. I am empty without you. Show. measure. It's sufficient without you. Hey, it's sufficient without you. It's sufficient without you. His grace, your grace, oh, we are nothing, 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 nothing without you. Akolelele manokaya naya. It's grace, arabasakaya da. Your grace that shines on us. I shine on me. Shine on me. Shines on me. I'm nothing without you. Emanasimale boy, shines on me. Shines on me. It's your grace. It's nothing but your grace. Nothing but your grace. It's nothing but your grace. Aye, it's nothing but your grace. Hey, it's nothing but your grace. It's nothing but your grace. It's nothing but your grace. It's ibana na 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 kela kwade rama. It's nothing but your grace. It's nothing but your grace. Nothing but your grace. I lo 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 ko ya. It's nothing but your grace. Mele mi la valora na. Oh, it's nothing but your grace. Abba, it's nothing but your grace.
Oh, nothing less than Jesus' blood.
Us to sing it twice. Now, ushers,
praise him, praise him.
Do you know it?
Try it once.
Breathe.
a scripture to us. If you have your Bible, turn with me. A flame will drop here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 7 to 9. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. That's the island of the economy of the grace of God. He said, you will eat bread there without scarceness. Anytime you find a scripture where scenarios where insufficiency is taken away, he's talking about that economy that is funded by spiritual blessings, domiciled in the heavenly realms. You will find stones like iron. You will dig brass in the mountains thereof. Oh, I didn't finish the reading. There is such a place where the insufficiencies of humankind count for nothing. In fact, your insufficiency is proof that you are worthy of a withdrawal. That's why Paul will say, I glory in my weakness, because it's an opportunity for me to withdraw from the boundless blessings of the grace of God. A man that is funded by grace cannot be defeated by the devil. So God said we should call this conference and show the way to this island. Oh my God. The hand of God will take you from that place of limitation, that place of insufficiency, and domicile you in this good land.
Amen.
If we study that scripture further, you'll find this good land that God speaks about has 17 properties. All of these properties speak about the streams of grace. In this place, there is no scarceness. Have you seen symptoms of lack of insufficiency around your life? Oh my God, God is going to do something here today. Him by
asking, is there an area of insufficiency in your life? If you have one area, then you qualify to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's where we exchange our weakness. Then we take on insufficiency. There is an exchange program that takes place by that throne. There is an administration that supports the grace of God. And if you find yourself in that location, you will exchange something that is weak for something that is strong. So there is a transaction tonight that is open for you. From that your point of weakness, can you cry? Reach out. And he will command the supply right now. For it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. He will send help to you right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Listen to me. I see a lady. And this lady that I see has been haunted by the devil for many years. This lady has been haunted by the devil for so many years. God opened my eyes to see the reason why you are being haunted. Because in your calling, the calling that he so desperately doesn't want you to fulfill is the deliverance of many people. This, oh my God, I'm seeing two of those ladies already. I'm seeing two of them. 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 Now, the hand of God will come upon you because you are a significant strategy in the agenda of God. Also, you will help me. You will help me. You are a significant strategy in the agenda of God. And that's why the devil has been on your case. But today there's liberty allocated for you from the presence of God. Woo! I see something like a serpent coming out of someone's stomach. I see something like a serpent. Serpent, leave there, leave there. It is God's goodwill for you to be set at liberty, even tonight. Oh my God. Oh my God. Listen to me. Someone just came for this conference today, and even while you were traveling in, you had a great burden on your heart. And the burden is that two members of your family died in rapid succession. And you were wondering what was going on in your family. If that person is in this place, you come. Two members of your family die in rapid succession, and you were wondering about it as you were traveling into the city of Makurdi. Two members of your family.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.